President Trump has fired FBI Director James Comey over his handling of the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails. The president concluding that he is not able to effectively lead the Bureau. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. What is your reaction to this? What are your questions? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Mordecai Lee, professor of urban planning at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a former state lawmaker. Good morning, and thanks for joining us on pretty short notice.
I'm glad to. Thank you, Joy.
So did you see this coming?
I didn't see this coming at all, and I have to say that, like most citizens, I was really shocked by it. It's a little sort of off-kilter. It's a little sort of unusual, and maybe the biggest takeaway is that this shows the difference between business administration and public administration. You know, in the business world, and Mr. Trump was the star of the show, you could say to anybody, you're fired. In government, it's not quite that simple. People don't quite serve at anybody's whim or at anybody's pleasure. And so to fire an FBI director is highly unusual. After all, the FBI is accountable not just to the president, the head of the executive branch, but is also accountable to Congress as the legislative branch. There are checks and balances, and in fact, the FBI director has a 10-year term. And I'm even so surprised that it's a legal firing, because I thought that they could be fired. They could not be fired during a 10-year term.
Trump said that Comey had to go because of his handling of the investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server. Now, that was a big issue during the campaign, but we haven't heard much about that since the election. What do you think is the reason for Comey's firing?
Well, this really is odd. Nothing sort of fits in terms of the story. The rationale was developed by the Deputy Attorney General, who I believe has a long record of public service, apolitical, nonpartisan public service. But this is so odd because it's an upside-down world that what Mr. Comey did during the campaign, his announcements about the investigation of Mrs. Clinton, were cheered by Republicans, including Mr. Trump, and were jeered by Democrats. Now, all of a sudden, Mr. Trump is firing him for something that perhaps helped him get elected president. And all of a sudden, Democrats have fallen in love with Mr. Comey. In 48 hours, they think he's the greatest guy in the world. And they're, what was the term from Casablanca? They're shocked that Mr. Comey is being accused of that. So nothing quite seems to make sense. You know, there are conspiracy theories that have to do with the Russia investigation. But on its face, this is really odd and really does deserve us sort of pausing to take a close look at it.
Yeah. It was the way it came down, the timing of it was peculiar in that that Comey was in California to, you know, talk to an FBI office out there. Apparently, he learned of his firing by looking at TV sets that had the news on there. What do you make of the timing of this?
Well, Joy, I guess it's just so TV-ish, you know, using TV to fire somebody. Generally speaking, it's done in a direct contact. You know, a person walks into the Oval Office and there's a confrontation and somebody is fired, or the president calls them and says to them, you're fired. Or at the very least that they're in Washington in their office and a presidential letter is delivered. That's how Secretary of Interior Walter Hickel got fired during the Nixon administration. But this adds to the oddity of it. It implies that there was some sort of time issue. In other words, did they feel for whatever reason they had to do it, even though he wasn't back in Washington yet? They couldn't wait a day. They couldn't wait 2 days. It all adds to a story that just doesn't quite gel. And setting aside sort of, you know, the conspiracy theories, we as Americans want an FBI director who is apolitical. We want someone who does not fear getting fired by a president for making a president unhappy. In fact, after President Nixon's horrible treating of the FBI during the Watergate investigation, when Ehrlichman handed him, handed the acting FBI director some documents and said, I want you to deep six this and throw him in the Potomac. Ever since then, that's why we have a 10-year term for an FBI director, so that it's not concurrent with any president's term. And I guess the last thing to emphasize is, let's run the scenario differently. Let's pretend that the day after the election that Trump won, President Obama had fired Comey. And President Obama had fired him for the reasons listed in the letter signed by Trump. It would be just an outrage. It would look like partisan retaliation. It would look like it would be lacking in merit. I just really am so baffled by what happened.
Well, during a news conference yesterday, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer had this to say about the firing.
Earlier this afternoon, President Trump called me and informed me he was firing Director Comey. I told the president, Mr. President, with all due respect, you are making a big mistake.
So, did the president make a big mistake, Mordecai?
Well, the instant analysis says yes. When you compare it to President Trump saying in his campaign he wanted to come to Washington, he wanted to drain the swamp, that Washington wasn't working, somehow firing the FBI director for making tough decisions, to me, doesn't sound like draining the swamp. It doesn't fit into that, and that's one of the reasons why I think this is so odd. But let me just add one detail, Joy, that I don't think has been discussed very much in the media, that sort of instant analysis that's going on in the last 24 hours, and that's that, if I recall correctly, along with the 10-year term that FBI directors have had ever since Nixon, is that they require Senate confirmation. Mm-hmm. And so that's an important detail about checks and balances, that even with a Republican Senate, it seems to me that there's no way that the president could successfully name a successor who is not a qualified law enforcement professional, apolitical, somebody of high moral standing. So I think we should have the sense that there will be a quality successor, which I think is a very important detail.
Yeah, but again, I'm not sure if something has surfaced since I've been on the air, but there was no nominee in waiting, right?
Exactly. The current deputy director of the FBI has become the acting director of the FBI. Now, in Washington, theoretically, a person can be the acting head. In other words, if you're the acting head, you don't require Senate confirmation. Theoretically, a person could be the acting head for the next 3.5 years of the Trump administration. But I think that would sort of be beyond the bounds. I suspect that very quickly there'll be a nominee who will be subject to really withering investigation, because Democrats and Republicans will want someone who they believe fits the appropriate needs for the qualifications of the head of the FBI.
Dave on Facebook writes, so what will now happen to the FBI investigation into Russia-Trump campaign collusion? That's a law enforcement matter, and as such can't be dependent on Comey, correct? Does the investigation continue without Comey at the helm?
Well, in normal times, the normal answer to Dave's question would be yes, that it sort of doesn't matter who's the FBI director, that the FBI is a professional agency of civil servants, apolitical, nonpartisan civil servants, and that if their investigation has so far led them to find something worth pursuing, that it would continue to be pursued. Theoretically, if a new director came in and said, I'm shutting down the Russian investigation because blank, theoretically there'd be such a rebellion in the ranks that it would spill over into the public, and there would be hearings in Congress, there'd be press investigations. So I suspect that the investigation will go on. Not necessarily with the same vigor or robustness. The conspiracy theories that Trump is trying to prevent the investigation, so far haven't been batted down very well, but I think it remains to be seen if Dave is right or not.
Yeah. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin called Trump's decision an attack on the rule of law. She also called for a special prosecutor to lead a comprehensive and independent investigation that follows all the facts wherever they lead. And other Senate Democrats in particular are calling for a special prosecutor. Do you think that's likely to happen?
I'm just guessing off the top of my head. It's unlikely to happen. One of the reasons is that ever since the special prosecutors during the Clinton administration, that the whole approach to having special prosecutors has really sort of fallen away. And especially if you're the majority party, you don't necessarily want an independent special prosecutor rummaging around practically anything they want to. So I think for sort of the obvious political reasons, the Republicans will decline to do that. But I think the Republican majority will do things that will try to reassure the public at large that they are, this subject will be investigated firmly. So we might see a special committee. We might see some other forms of some degree of accountability to reassure the public that nothing is being lost in the firing.
Dennis in Princeton is with us. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Good. Very short on time. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think that it indicates a certain level of distrust that I have in the Trump administration to allow this investigation to go on. And I would ask your guests to maybe refrain from using the word conspiracy theory. I'm an engineer, and, you know, we employ the scientific method. You have a hypothesis, and you look at the evidence, and the suggestion that people who would believe that Trump was getting rid of Comey to thwart an investigation into the Russian thing, I don't see that as a conspiracy theory, which is an unfounded belief in something not supported by evidence.
Because we're very short on time, Mordecai, do you want to quickly react to this?
No, fair enough. I like Dennis's point, and I was deliberately using the phrase conspiracy theory because in American politics nowadays, when we use it, it's to refer to something that sort of we don't quite understand, that doesn't quite make sense, and sort of there's a kind of theory of the crime, as law enforcement uses the phrase, a kind of theory of the crime that would this be the explanation? But I appreciate that Dennis said we should stick to the facts.
Right. I wish we had more time, but we don't. What's next, Mordecai, in 30 seconds?
In 30 seconds, we should watch to see who's the nominee. We should watch to see an exploration of their background. And we should watch to see how the Republican majority will react to the Democratic demand for a special prosecutor.
And 20 more seconds. Did you hear that Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark was being mentioned as a possible replacement?
I did hear that on the national news, and I have to tell you, I don't think so. I think he's just too hot politically for him to pass the extra scrutiny that this nominee would get.
Thank you very much for being with us. Mordecai Lee is a professor at UW-Milwaukee. Thanks to Chris Molina for producing the program. This is the Ideas Network.